NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
How's everyone doing today, man? It's nice to be here on a Monday on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. Halftime, Phil Elson. Good morning, Matt Jones. Good morning, C-Unit. What's new in your life? You have a good weekend? You have a good Mother's Day? I know you had a good weekend, Matt, because I saw you at Palm Walker Stadium for a couple of games.
1-1.
1-1. I was a little nervous after 6-0 yesterday. I thought we were going to have to ban you from Palm Walker, at least for the remainder of this year. Turns out, not the case.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day. It was cool. Got to see a lot of people. Got to come up and see you and Bubba. Thanks for the waters, Bubba. It was hot there a little bit. Then Sunday we had the cloud coverage, so it was super.
Big cloud guy, right?
Big cloud guy. Man, you want to know what I was impressed with? I was impressed with how we stuck with it, how the team didn't ever hang their head, and because it would have been real easy. Mississippi State has some bats. Man, they got a dude. Their four-hole hitter, number 42, can play in the bigs. Their center fielder, I don't know how he dropped that one. He's like he took his eyes off it. But he didn't. That was his only mistake he made the whole time. You saw him on Friday. I didn't. I don't know. Dude can play. Mississippi State has some dudes on that team. That's a team that can make some. Now, I don't think their pitching is anywhere close good enough to make a run in Omaha. But they got some bats.
You know, statistically, they'd been one of the best pitching staffs the past 3 weeks is they'd won three series in a row. That's what makes the offensive eruption so impressive. And it gives you maybe a little bit of confidence moving forward that the bats have woken up. But I just like to see a team that won two games in a way that we just haven't seen very often. Well, you didn't get the best. You got a good Hagen Smith on Friday, not a great Hagen Smith, and still had to come back by down a run in the eighth inning and won that game. A little bit high scoring for what we're used to seeing the first game of a series. And then yesterday, man, I mean, they almost came back from down 8-0. They had the tying run batting on Saturday in the eighth inning and then complete the comeback yesterday. Biggest comeback against an SEC team since the 2014 SEC tournament. I didn't realize that until I saw Matt Jones's column in the Democrat Gazette today. So, you know, they showed you they can win by out hitting the opponent rather than just kind of winning 3-2 or 5-1 or something like that. I thought that was great to see.
Aloy OG, that Saturday he had two extra base hits. Three times he hits the ball hard on Saturday. Two extra base hits and nobody's on base. And you know, it's just one of those, timing is kind of everything. It was hard for us at times early to string 2, 3, 4 hits in an inning together. And then when you get your guy in place, but then they did that when the relievers come in. When a pitcher change come in, it's like something switches and the bats come. I don't know what it is, if it's a mindset, if it's like, all right, we've done our job by taking all these pitches to get that guy. You know, it's just part of the game plan, and then it's like they unleash.
Well, the difference was scoring against bullpens in this game. Mississippi State got better starting pitching than Arkansas did. Hogs relievers were a lot better than theirs. Arkansas allowed 8 runs from their relievers. They scored 12 runs against Mississippi State relievers. And Arkansas relievers pitched almost 10 innings more than Bulldogs relievers did. So it was pressure that they put on them 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th innings that was the difference. And now at 19-8, with a 2-game lead over A&M, and you're going to College Station Wednesday for a series that starts Thursday, one win in these next 3 games clinches a West Division championship. It's going to be tough because A&M's only lost twice at home all year. So, and you still have you got as good of a shot as anybody outside of maybe Kentucky of winning the overall SEC championship. Hogs are tied with Tennessee, 1 game in back of Kentucky. Tennessee and Kentucky are at home. Wildcats play Vanderbilt. Volunteers play South Carolina. And then, you know, they take the Hogs take on A&M. So, I mean, it's right there in front of you. You get a chance to win a division just by winning a game on Thursday if Thursday's played. It looks like 100% chance of rain Thursday in College Station. So who knows if they'll get that game on. But, you continue to win games at home. Haven't lost a regular season series at home in 2 full seasons. And I really feel, I went into this last weekend, Matt, thinking if Arkansas wins that series against Mississippi State, then I think they're top 8. I really do. And don't go get swept by A&M. Don't lose the next 5. You should be able to play at least 2 games, maybe hopefully more, in Hoover. Don't lose the next 5 and you're fine. You will be top 8. I feel really good about their chances right now, almost no matter what happens, to ensure that they'll play at home however long they're in the postseason until the College World Series. But Matt, one of my favorite thing from this weekend still might not have been anything that happened on the field. I finally got a chance after almost 2 years hosting the show with you, and I've known you for a long time now. I finally met Paula Jay.
Mm.
It was about time. I didn't get a chance to see my mom. She and my father are in England. So I just was able to exchange a couple of texts, and that was it with my mom on Mother's Day. But I made, you make a nice Facebook post. I think that's okay because we weren't able to speak to each other. But I did speak to Paula Jay, Mrs. Jones, on Saturday. And that, Matt, was the highlight of my weekend.
Well, you see where I get my good looks and my charm from now. It's pretty easy to see, man. It was fun. Got to see my sisters as well. They're both moms too. And then ran in. Got to see Peyton Hillis, which was cool.
He was at the game on Saturday, right?
I hadn't seen Peyton in over a decade. And I don't have social media, so I don't you just don't talk to people. And dude, he looked like a rock star. He got the black shirt on with the cowboy boots. He's got the look. Yeah, man. But it was cool. It's got to run into some people, so it was a good time.
Now I love that. So you got tickets for Saturday's game so you could go with your sisters and your mom, but you had such a good time. You came back Sunday. Like, now all of a sudden, go baseball. This is Matt Jones, big baseball guy.
Big baseball guy, but I got to get that L out of your mouth. You got to get the taste of the L out, and we needed a dub. So it was double down. It was like, look, we're going to do this thing. And when we were down 5, I believe, after 2 innings on day 3, it was kind of like, here we go again. And man, just the fact that they battled and stayed. I mean, it's real. You didn't see one Razorback hang their head. They'd strike out or whatever, and it was like, hey, let's go pick your guy up, slap him on the butt. Come on, let's go make a play in the outfield. That play Holt made, was that day 2?
That was Saturday.
Oh my goodness, that was a heck of a play.
He made 2 really amazing catches this weekend. He's playing right field on Friday, and I you think it's outfield, so it's all the same thing. Nah, the corner outfield is a different situation, and right field's different than left field. He looks really good in left field. Looks like it's a little different for Peyton reading the ball off the bat in right field. He made another great catch, but it was only because he overran a ball chasing it in right field. It was kind of hooking, and at the last moment, he had to leap and reach behind himself to make the catch. I mean, what I see from Peyton Holt is amazing body control. Like, amazing body control. If the guy was another foot taller and he'd be a basketball player, he'd make some circus shots and he'd be able to finish around the rim through contact. I mean, he might have the best body control on the team.
Yeah, he seems like he could play any sport. Is it Ross Lovich, the left fielder?
And yes.
I like him. Now, Jason Jones hit a home run day three, and so you're kind of rotating your outfielders. But I like he hit bad on ball, and he hit it hard. It was just some outs.
Well, we started to see what looks like, I don't know if you can, you know, turn the wrong idea about this, if it's, say it's a consistent-looking lineup, but because Dave is changing things based upon if the starter is a lefty or a righty. And I wonder if that'll still be the case moving forward with certain guys, you know. But Wilmsmeyer, for the second week in a row, started Friday and then doesn't play Saturday or Sunday until they have a lead late. That opens up center field for Holt, which opens up left field for either Jason Jones or Ross Lovich. And I think seeing Jones hit that ball over the fence yesterday, he has, you know, out of all the players on the team, he might have the most potential as a dangerous hitter. It's just like feeling comfortable, unlocking it, taking a better approach. And maybe we're seeing signs of that now.
It looked like he had easy power is what I
saw. That's the right way to put it.
It was kind of natural and easy for him. And I think with him, it might be in between the ears where it's like, settle down, take a breath and let it come to you. Don't go trying to force it. Just let natural talent, let cream rise to the top. Let your natural ability take over.
I still was so proud that when I met your mom and she come up into the booth, that she listens to the show every day, right? I mean, well, she is a dedicated halftime listener.
Just to check my grammar, yeah.
Well, that's why I was proud, because she commented on my grammar. Any English teacher that's listening to this show, or not just this show, anything that they're listening to, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard when you don't use proper grammar. It's the first, she said, I feel like I know you, which is nice if you feel like you know me from listening to this show. And then it was the grammar. So I'm like, thank you very much. She didn't compliment yours, though, and yours is pretty good.
There's not a whole lot, not very impressed with me, so we just keep it moving.
I just like that you're a big Cloud guy and now a big baseball guy, and I'm also glad that you don't have to stay away from Baum Walker, because when it was 6-0, I texted Matt. I was like, they lose this game, you might not be allowed back here anymore. Next thing you know, 9-6. Come on back, man. He was Bob Uecker too. Like, Matt, where were you sitting in the first game?
Oh, we had great seats. We were over there like 110, 112, something like that.
You weren't all the way up front.
We were about four rows back or so.
And then yesterday, you were Uecker.
Yesterday we were right behind.
Even in the front row.
Oh, they were perfect. Yeah, both. There's not a bad seat in the house. And the thing yesterday, those clouds showed up early and often. Had a little breeze going on. Man, that was a great day for baseball.
Yeah, it was. It was great. And now we go on the road for, you know, once the flight takes off Wednesday, it could be a 12-day road trip for the Razorbacks, because they'll be in College Station through Saturday. Potentially, now this series in College Station, I think, could be pushed to Sunday because of rain. This is the only weekend, because everybody plays on a Thursday, that if a game three, and you can't play the game three on a Saturday, or there's a rainout or something like that, you can push it to a Sunday if it has anything, any bearing on standings. So I do think that this series could be pushed to a Sunday, and it's legitimately a possibility because the weather looks absolutely horrendous for the first game of the series. But, you know, if they can get a doubleheader in Friday or Saturday, they'll do it. It'll just be kind of wild because it is for the division championship. It's good to be with you guys here on a Monday today. Feels great as we take you towards the baseball postseason and lots else, of course, going on in the world of sports. You got the NBA playoffs. You got some really good series going on right now in the conference semifinals. I know Matt's had his eyes on those games. You had Paul Skeens made his major league debut over the weekend. He was okay. The Pirates bullpen kind of blew something for him. They won the game anyway. We've got visits for men's basketball. It's a Monday, so we've had commits for Cal's team, I think, 3 weeks in a row on a Monday. So who knows? You might get one today because you had a couple of guys that visited over the weekend. And here are our guests for this Monday, Connor O'Gara, from Saturday down south during the 1 o'clock hour. And at about an hour, we'll be talking with Mike Irwin from Pig Trail Nation, who I think is wrapping up his vacation back to his homeland of around Denton, Texas.
Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Welcome back. Halftime on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. 12:01 in the afternoon. It is cloudy outside my windows. Matt Jones in our ESPN Arkansas studios with the C-Unit as well. Feeling better today, C-Unit? We were worried about you on Friday. You all right?
Yeah, I got over it pretty quick.
Good.
Just didn't feel good.
Does he look okay today, Matt?
Oh, he looks great.
That I don't know.
He looks great. Apparently, Bronny James looks great too. Cleared his physical and medically. He's cleared to be in the draft and all that. And there's talk about if you have the first pick in the second round, because he's a G leaguer, you know, but he just wants to come up and play with his pops. One, just despite the Lakers, do you take Bronny to let the Lakers don't get him?
Well, what about the idea
little gamesmanship? You think, you know?
Isn't I mean, LeBron's contract is up, right?
No, he has 2 years left. I think
is it two
LA.
Years left?
I think he's under. I'll have to look at it. Let me look at it. But he's still signed with the Lakers for a couple years.
I thought this might have been it, or there's an opt in or an opt out of some sort.
There's always an he has power as far as that opt in opt out stuff. But
all right, so what about this idea? If you draft Bronny, are you drafting LeBron? It's, you know what I mean? It's like, does the father follow the son? If he's got the choice of where he wants to play, does he follow his son so he can play with him?
Yeah, a little gamesmanship. Because he's not ready, but he could be ready in about 4 years. But the G League is kind of a place where he can go get run. And if you just want to work on your craft, I mean, if you're going to go put the work in, and it seems like that's what that's what his dad does. That's what he wants to do. So he could be there, but. I mean, you saw Griffey Jr. and Griffey Sr. play on the same team, which was pretty cool. Both home run in the same game. They're going to do something like that, marketing money wise. It even because you think about it. There are 30 teams in the NBA, and everybody, if you're good, there's about an 8-man rotation, right? So that's 240 players. That's how many. That's how good you have to be in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, the draft is what, in a couple of weeks, right?
Atlanta got the first pick in the draft. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I keep hearing it's a low quality draft is what I've been reading about.
They don't have a Wemby. Yeah,
well, I don't know. Wemby seems like he might be a unicorn. A little bit different, a lot different than most. Heck of a lot different than most. Hey, speaking of basketball, there hasn't been a Monday commit yet, has there? Nothing from DJ Wagner yet. No, nothing from Kayshon Pryor yet. Darius Acuff, we're supposed to do this on Mondays. I think it's been 3 weeks in a row. So keep those eyes peeled, or the ears, or the thumbs, whatever it is you use on your phone. 877-377-6963 for calls and texts on the McLarty Daniel hotline. Let's go to Eduardo, the Sherpa, who's fired up these days. Eddie, how you doing, man? What's new?
Man, I'm doing better now. I'll tell you what. They say lightning strike quickly. And what did we strike? I mean, I'll never doubt this team again. I'll tell you what, you're down 6-0. That's what Eddie from Clarksville talk about. Seize the moment. That's what I talk about. Hope the light. And they stepped up when they needed it the most. A hats off to the team. Hats off to the coaches. I mean, when it's getting, I mean, our infield defense has been one of the best in the country. It was having a bad day. Our pitching was having a bad day. And you know, our hitting, what were we, 2-for-15 with runners in scoring position in this series. We were in danger of losing to the Bulldogs at home. And I mean, they hadn't won a series at Bond Stadium, I believe. I've seen the stat since 2007. But boy, in the moment, they stepped up. So hats off to them. As far as Mr. Digg goes, I don't know if it's a confidence thing or not. I'd leave him out there for his defense. Sooner or later, you know, Mr. Digg, you got to, I don't know what, you just got to bring it. You got to look yourself in the eye, no matter what anybody else says, and go up there and take care of it. Just make contact with the ball, son. You've got the power to do it. You've been up there long enough to do it. So as far as Molina, as far as Tiger goes, you heard me falling. You know, I don't know what's going on there. You know, you pitched stellar all season long for most of the season in the last two series. You know, when it matters most, this weekend against the Aggies, are you going to bring it? Because if you do, not only will you win an SEC Western Division title, you might win an SEC championship in the toughest conference in America.
Eddie, I think one reason why you're as fired up as you're fired up right now, and usually, you know, you're kind of hiking up Petty Jean Mountain to shout down to the masses down below. You must be really excited, because I know when you're on the top of Petit Jean Mountain Saturday night, you had to have experienced the Aurora Borealis. And I think that's probably getting into your phone call just a little bit. Like, I feel like you're glowing like the Aurora Borealis was glowing. Is that what you did this weekend? Obviously it is.
I tell you what, I wanted to put on a song, the Beatsy Boys. You know, you got to fight for your ride in this conference. Because all of them are heavyweights. All of them have something to play for. And the last three national championships have come out of the West. So I'm going to say this to the Hawk train. You've got steam now, baby. Go down there. And you know what? Take care of business against the Aggies. And if you do that, woo, the whistle is going to be blowing into the NCAA tournament.
Thank you very much, Eddie, for listening to our show. Beastie Boys also sang a song called Hey Ladies. It was on the album after. Well, I think it was on the album after "License to Ill." That's, I like that one more than "You Got to Fight for Your Right."
This good. Do you think Nas's "Illmatic" is a tribute a little bit to the BC Boys? They're all New Yorker guys, right? Like Nas is a New York rapper. Yeah,
yeah, pretty sure about it. All right, Charlie gets to do something he never wants to do, which is bat second behind Eddie. But don't worry, Charlie, you don't have to do all that much. Eddie just hit a triple. You just got to bring him in. What's up?
Man, what I need to do, I just need to kind of bunt it out there. He's taking a big lead off of third, right? He's already halfway home.
Corner infielders are up, man. They think you're bunting. You're going to have to swing away.
You're probably right. Hey, I think for me with Diggs, I just think he's hurt. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for him, but he just doesn't. Listen, it's got to be difficult to swing with, you know, that's his front shoulder, right, that he's trying to swing with. I think he, you know, obviously some of it's probably mental, but I just don't think he's healthy. I mean, I think that is the biggest thing. And to be honest with you right now, who is with Dave going to put in there? I still would take Kendall Diggs. And I'm not knocking guys on the bench, but, you know, you think about Kendall, I mean, him at like, I don't know what his percentage would be health-wise, but him like that is still better than a lot of the, you know, he just really is. I mean, he's that good. So I understand he's struggling right now. I get all that. But, you know, at some point I could see him coming through and making a hit or two. You know, everybody wants to talk about this team struggling hitting-wise, and it's always the negative, and we want to go after Coach Thompson. How about giving Coach Thompson some credit for Hal Hudson-White is swinging the bat right now? I mean,
absolutely.
You think about a guy, like you said, Phil, earlier in the year that at one point only had one home run. But, you know, he's talked about the mechanical, you know, and you could touch on this a little more just with maybe he was a little stiff early in the year and he looks like he's loosened up a bit. You know, you could probably explain it better, but it just seems like not only that, he's seeing the ball better. So it's big. And Peyton Holt is I love this kid. I mean, who does? I love this kid, man. He just, everything about him. Just a good player, good all-around player. And, Matt, I wanted to touch on this before I got off. Wow, about Denver, I am surprised that they have done what they've done, but I think it's been just physicality, and they finally matched it. And do you still get how much of a shot do you still give Minnesota, or do you think Denver is kind of taking control of this thing? Anyways, y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Charlie. Good to hear from you, man. Did you get your eyes on Nuggets T-Wolves over the weekend?
I went to Yeah, I went to my buddy's house yesterday and watched that game. You know, watching those first two games, I thought Denver was done. But like champions do, they came back. They've had the first two games. What I noticed was Denver looked old, slow, and tired. They were last to all the loose balls. They've come back with the energy and playing with a purpose, running what they're supposed to do. The Joker just took over yesterday, like he was doing whatever he wanted to do. Murray's hitting his shots, but they've matched their intensity. Let me say that. That's what they've done. And then it's a veteran. There's a veteranness to the playoffs. You know, it's you gotta. We talked about that earlier. Oklahoma City's a young team. Minnesota's a young team. They're finding out going against a couple of veteran teams that it's not a one game off. But you got to win four games. You got to make adjustments, and that's a championship. I mean. I would have never guessed that, Phil. Road team won four straight games in this series.
It's not supposed to happen in the NBA. Not supposed
only
to happen.
Only in baseball, right? Yeah.
Yeah, even in baseball, it doesn't happen very much. That's really rare.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Time to talk with Mike Irwin from Pig Trail Nation. Get a piece of his time every Monday. And Mike, always appreciate talking to you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Back home from a long week in Texas, a long drive down, a long drive back. Weird watching baseball games. I had to listen to game two somewhere between Wichita Falls and the Arkansas State line on ESPN3. On my phone, just sitting there on the seat with the audio jacked up. Very, very difficult to do that.
Well, it was an entertaining series for sure. Pretty sure it's the highest scoring series of the season. And what it tells me here, so, I mean, there's all the issues that I've gotten into already throughout this series or throughout the first hour or so of the show, but they won high-scoring games, and I think that was something that we weren't sure if they could do, you know, been waiting for the bats to wake up. Well, you know what? They've kind of woken up mostly in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that really started with that midweek Texas Tech series. I think they were down big at one point in the fourth inning and came back and won that game 9-8. So this isn't something they haven't done. It's just been developing at the same time that the starting pitching has been a little bit off. And honestly, all three starters struggled a bit. You know, Hagen Smith certainly probably had, it wasn't terrible, but he had his worst outing. And yet they came back and won two or three, and people keep saying it was hitting. It was hitting, but what about the bullpen? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're down big and you score all those unanswered runs, that's your bullpen delivering. Gage Wood came out looking really good. I just wonder if he's going to get a start finally. But this brings up a lot of interesting questions about what DVH does in the SEC tournament, too. I mean, if they're the three seed, which seems likely, although it could definitely change, you're still going to play a Wednesday game, a Thursday game. What do you do with your pitching? You know, do you say you'll pitch a Hagen Smith on Wednesday for two or three innings and then let him rest with all the rest he's going to get until the next Friday? Or, you know, how do you handle that? So it's all pretty interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And so you mentioned the bullpen. And, yeah, if you're going to come back from down six runs, be like, well, they obviously hit.
but that also means that your bullpen's going to have to keep you in the ball game. And they did, I feel they did that on Saturday for the most part. Bobby struggled at the outset, but from, I guess it was the fifth inning on, really good relief pitching. So, I mean, right now, bull relief pitching is more of a strength than starting pitching right now, because you're seeing Gage Wood rise to the occasion. You're seeing Christian Fauch really become a very good reliever for an inning at a time. McIntyre looks closer to where he was in March. And Gabe Gackel, man, I want him to be a starting pitcher next year, but I want Gabe Gackel to have the ball in the eighth inning when they have the lead and the ninth inning when they have the lead.
You felt pretty comfortable with him once they got that lead and a three-run lead to boot, and then he's got to go two innings. He got a little bit dicey in the ninth, but, I mean, you just have confidence in him. And then even Faraday, a guy that gives me the willies when he comes in the game, he had, I think, at least one good inning. So, I mean, all of that looked good. And then somebody was questioning me about why did DBH say that was the biggest win of the year. It was big, but why the biggest? And I think some of it is that, you know, the coming back from behind and the offense clicking. I also think, guys, if they had lost the Mississippi State series at home and then lost to A&M on the road, that's three straight series that you lose. You're in danger of dropping below an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. And then, even if you win at home, you probably have to go on the road for a super. Although, if you look at the long history of Arkansas in the NCAA tournament, there have been plenty of years in which they played better on the road in the NCAA tournament than at home. But I would say you'd still want to play at home.
Mike, how important is this last series of the season? And what do you hope to see in these last three games?
Well, you'd like to see... I'm interested to see if Dave Van Horn, which he threatened to do last week and didn't do, if he's going to put Gage Wood in a starter in either one of those two positions, and who does he take out? So that's interesting. A&M has stopped hitting lately. They lost two low-scoring games over the weekend. They had lost to LSU in a couple of low-scoring games. And then if you go all the way back three weekends ago, they had the one game they lost to Georgia was a fairly low scoring game. So have their bats cooled off? And if so, I think that certainly helps Arkansas. You'd like to go up there and win that series. They don't have to. If Hagan Smith wins on Friday night, they've got the West wrapped up. So I think that's your first order of business. But if you could take that series, and then there's any one of a number of scenarios in which you could still win the overall title. I mean, Kentucky still with a one game lead over Tennessee and Arkansas. They're in the driver's seat. They're at home against Vandy. You'd think they would probably end up either tied at the worst. The only way they could be jumped is either they got swept, or if they lost a series and either Arkansas or Tennessee or both swept, you know, their games. Tennessee is also at home. And I think they're going up against, South Carolina. So I don't know. I still think it favors Kentucky. But this thing could go any one of a number of ways in this last weekend. And that's what you want, right? That's fun.
You know, Dave's been the SEC regular season coach of the year two of the last three seasons. And, you know, it was last year because of team ERA that was in the fives, and they end up finding a way to win a league championship. This year, it's an opposite thing. I mean, you get this pitching staff with the lowest or second lowest ERA in the country, but look at all the different lineups that he's been putting together, you know, and everybody's got an opinion on who should be in right field, who should be in left field, and who should be in center field. And then the way the lineup is constructed, and it almost feels sometimes like you're just like throwing darts at a wall and seeing, you know, where it all lines up. But there's a method to the reason why he's put all of these different lineups together. And I don't have the count of the lineups, but when you look at how many different 1 through 9s there's been, I mean, this has to go down as it's obvious because they're 42-10, but it's a totally different thing than he had to do last year, but he could end up being SEC coach of the year again.
Yeah, it's possible. And do you think this lineup has finally stabilized with the way they hit over the weekend, is this what it's going to be going into the NCAA tournament? I hope so. I like that lineup. I told you guys last week I like Jason Jones in left. And, you know, I think there's just different things that they did that worked. Hudson White, all my Texas Tech friends were asking me all year long. I mean, he was a home run hitter for us. What's going on there? Well, he's now starting to come around. He was huge over the weekend. So I like this lineup the way he's got it. I hope he leaves it that way.
Are any of these backup catchers, are they athletic enough to put them in the outfield?
Oh.
Yeah, because I know you said we're deep. We're deep at catching.
Helfrich could. I think Bubba said something about he might have either been taking fly balls the other day or just shagging. I think Helfrich could play in a lot of different places. And you're seeing him become more of a steady presence as a designated hitter. 2 out of 3 games this last weekend. He's been hitting more. I think you'll see him DH. I think he could play the outfield. I just don't think they'll put him out there right now.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with you. I mean, if you look at his batting average, you go, no, what's he doing in there? Is it DH? Are you serious? But he's starting to come around. And so I like that. Now, what do you do about Kendall Diggs? Because, again, it looked like last weekend at Kentucky maybe he was coming around, but now there's an issue again. Is it really that he's beat up? Is it psychological? Because he takes a lot of call strikes.
Yeah.
And that's mental usually when that happens. So
I think it looks a little more, Mike, it's like approach more than anything. It's just pitches he was driving last year, he's not driving any longer. Inside fastball, which was a really dangerous thing to throw him last year, that's where batters are attacking him now. And that's how they're getting ahead. But, you know, it's like I feel the same way with Diggs as I would feel about Jones. It's just Kendall did it last year on a consistent basis. If something clicks with either one of those guys, they could really get going. We just haven't seen it from Jason in the regular season at all. But this kid puts together an amazing batting practice. And I think of him the same way I think of Chad Spanberger. You remember Spanberger, who was a freshman in 2015, did almost nothing for 2.5 years. And then his junior season, halfway through, something clicked. And it was incredible. I think he had like 20 home runs that year. I think he hit 15 of them in the second half. It just something clicked. Jones is that kind of talent. It's just, you know, it's a lot easier to say if something clicks than to actually get it to click.
Yeah, and DVH history suggests he does not give up on a player that's won for him in the past. And that's why I think Diggs will still continue to be there. He just keeps going with guys because it's like in his head he's going, okay, he did it once, he did it before. He'll find a way to make it happen again. And I agree with that.
Hey, Mike, we got a big one tonight. Thunder, Mavericks, these NBA playoffs have been out of control, especially Denver and Minnesota. But we got some Arkansas guys in this Thunder-Dallas game. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'm not a Dallas fan. You know, I'm just not, so... You know, Jalen Williams is one of my favorite all-time Razorbacks. I love that guy. And I know he's not a huge contributor, but I like his smile. I like the way he approaches things. So I don't know if I'll see that game. I'm not the big NBA fan that you are, Matt, but, you know, it is tough when you got Razorbacks on either side, but I've never been a Dallas fan.
All right, well, what's it like for you when you come back from vacation, Mike? Do you need a little ramp up to get back to work? I mean, do you automatically just start taking Ask Mike questions, or do you need a little bit of like a ramp up before you get to that?
No, I didn't have any time for that. I mean, I got home Saturday night, and I had all these chores because of Mother's Day. We had all the kids and grandkids coming out, and my wife was running me all over the place. And then I got through with that and was able to sit down and watch the baseball game. And, you know, I just, then I went right. I started to come in last night, which was the last day of my vacation, and start this Ask Mike stuff. And I went, nah. So I just came in about 8:30 this morning and started in on it.
I love it. Nice and easy going. That's well done. Mike, appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk next week, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
It's Mike Irwin, Pig Trail Nation, with us here on Halftime.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. We have Connor O'Gara with us today from Saturday Down South. Get him a couple weeks. Connor, how you doing today? Middle of May.
Gentlemen, doing really well. Can't complain. Life is good.
Yeah. I mean, so what's there to write about when there's always something to write about in college football? College football, we were just kicking around the other day, or the last segment, how, you know, the NFL is the master at dominating over the offseason. They're going to have the schedule release tomorrow. There's always something going on in the NFL. College football is kind of there. Are they there, or they need a little more?
They're there. The transfer portal has allowed it to be there in a lot of different ways. And there's stuff that's going on. We're going to have SEC spring meetings coming up in a little bit. Why they call it spring meetings, I don't know. It is not in the 90s here in my neck of the woods in Florida, so that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But nonetheless, there's plenty to write and talk about. I'm kind of trying to dig in more right now into the Oklahoma-Texas storylines. It's a good time of year to kind of sink your teeth into who those teams are, what their fans are saying, what people around the program are saying, how the year projects, what this is going to look like with them in the SEC. So that's kind of been my focus a little bit as of late. And there's, you know, interesting questions to be asked, like who's going to lead the SEC in rushing. That's something we're digging into on the Saturday Down South podcast today. A question that I think is a lot harder to answer than what you would typically think, just based on the way that it usually plays out. But yeah, there's always stuff to be able to talk about. That's what we do.
Is the quarterback at Texas, is he the best quarterback in the SEC? Who's the number one quarterback in the SEC?
Yeah, man, that's a fair question. Like, I think Quinn Ewers coming back, if he's not one of your top three quarterbacks in all of college football, you probably are in the minority with that opinion, because what he did last year to be able to get Texas to the college football playoff was certainly impressive. But to me, it's his ability to dominate these big-time games, what he did against Alabama and then what he did in the Big 12 championship. I mean, putting that game away against Oklahoma State in the first half, he was unbelievable. He's got to be able to stay healthy. I have him right now as my number two quarterback coming back in the SEC behind Carson Beck. I think Carson Beck, what he did last year, answered a lot of questions that people had about what this post-Stetson Bennett era was going to look like. And yeah, there's still a little bit of meat on the bone. I think you need to see him connect a little bit more on some of these downfield throws that are, you know, stretching the field vertically 40, 50 yards. But other than that, it's hard not to like what he did in his first season as a starter. You can kind of forget that with how comfortable he looked at times getting Georgia off to that 12-0 start. So yeah, that's probably how I would rank it right now.
I think the guys at EA Sports would probably agree with you, since we saw both Ewers and Beck's last names on the front of the college football game cover that came out the other day. I mean, that tells you, to me, that told you who's making the most money off of the cover, at least.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that that's going to be part of this with NIL and all that. And I know there was a lot that was made about whether or not it was fair that, you know, the athletes could opt in and only get, what, like $600 and a copy of the game. And to me, I wasn't thinking of it like that at all. And based on the numbers so far that I know, Matt Brown, who does a great job being able to report about this stuff, I know based on the numbers that he's come out with, like, this is very much an opt-in, you know, treat. That's more of a goodie bag as you leave the party sort of deal to be in this game. How about Donovan Edwards being the cover guy in many ways? Like, he's the most prominent player coming back for a Michigan team that, look, obviously has a lot of turnover, but a guy that was very much the second running back in that room behind Blake Corum, didn't even have 500 rushing yards in our first college football video game in over a decade. That's the guy that's featured prominently. I know Michigan fans won't push back on that, but I thought that was interesting.
Where do you have, I see on your rankings here, you did some post-spring SEC quarterback rankings. You got Talen Green ranked 12th, you know, on the back half there. What is it you see from Green, and where do you think he could end up moving into the top half quarterbacks in the SEC this next season?
I think so. I think his surroundings are really good if we are able to see improvement from the Arkansas offensive line. Massive if, not the first nor the last person to say that. And if these receivers look like what they're capable of. Now, he's got three big-bodied pass-catching targets that I think could be super quarterback-friendly, and that's all well and good. But what does it look like for him in those grenade games? Because that was kind of his issue at Boise State was, man, he'd have some of these games where it just didn't really look like it was coming together for him. Now, you've got somebody in Bobby Petrino that you would think is going to be a great mentor, somebody that's going to be in his ear in a really positive way that we didn't see last year with Dan Enos and KJ Jefferson, that relationship. But that, to me, the question about him getting into that top half and what that looks like, so much of it is going to be, can he cut down on those mistakes? Because I don't think Arkansas is really built to handle a guy that's going to make those mistakes. So if he can do that, that's a different conversation. But quarterback is deep in the SEC this year, and that will be no small feat to get there.
Connor, with, you know, LSU, it seems like they're receiver, you kind of how like Florida was in the 90s and the early 2000s. Which SEC squad has the best collection of receivers coming back this year?
It's a great question, because there are probably three or four that have a really good legitimate claim. But for me, I think that Ole Miss has the best group of pass catchers returning in the conference. They have a guy in Trey Harris who is one of the three or four probably best receivers in all of college football. They have a guy in Juice Wells who, look, was an all-SEC guy, one of the two best receivers coming into the league last year. Lost season it was for him. If he's healthy, look out. And then they still have a guy, Jordan Watkins, who is one of the leading returning receivers in the SEC. And, oh, by the way, Caden Prescorn, who was dominant in that bowl game in the Peach Bowl victory, and is probably going to be the first team all-SEC tight end going into this year. He's going to be 25 years old. Like, they have depth there at the pass catcher spots that, to me, makes Ole Miss the number one choice. Mizzou has to be part of that conversation as well. Luther Burden III is the best returning receiver in college football. The development of Theo East last year was huge. They got Mookie Cooper coming back, another young tight end in Norfleet that they really like. So those would be kind of the two. And then Oklahoma, depth for days in what they have. Drake Stoops is kind of the only guy that they really lost, and they replaced him with Deion Burks from Purdue, an all Big Ten guy. So, yeah, there is a lot to like, I think, at the top with some of these pass-catching groups in the SEC.
Let me tell you, I had an interesting conversation about the newest Razorback wide receiver with some baseball coaches over the weekend. Now, you usually wouldn't put those things together. You saw about Monte Harrison, who played Major League Baseball 10 years in the minors as well, center fielder, base stealer. He's now committed to play at Arkansas as a wide receiver. 6'3", 220. I'm standing in the dugout on, I think it was Friday, during batting practice. I'm talking with Matt Hobbs, our pitching coach, and I'm like, what do you think about the new receiver that they've signed? He's a baseball player. He was like, I recruited him to Mizzou to play for us. I mean, he was, and Bobby Warnes, who's our first base coach, played against Harrison in the Kansas City area where he's from. It's just 28-year-old wide receiver is going to make some people kind of raise their eyebrows or roll their eyes. I think it could work out. The guy's supposed to be an amazing athlete. It's just getting used to football again.
Wouldn't it be nice to be 28 years old and think about, what do I want to do with the next chapter of my life? Oh, you know what? Actually, let me go back. Let me just play in the toughest conference in college football at a skill position. Let me just see if I can pick this up again and actually have that opportunity available. I mean, what a crazy thought. And I'm not hating the guy for doing that, but some of us are blessed with unbelievable gifts, and some of us are able to take advantage of those. And I mean, credit the guy for being able to have this opportunity available. Nobody wanted the interesting storylines probably for this Arkansas team this year.
So, and I was looking at the baseball standings today in the SEC and on their Road to Hoover page, where they just detail what all the seeding looks like if the season ended today, and they got all the tiebreakers on the right side. I know you just wrote about this. We are about to have a 16-team league with no divisions for football. They're still playing 8 games. We have no idea what the tiebreakers will look like. And the top 2 teams are supposed to play for the SEC championship. As far as SEC records concerned, you know somebody's going to finish in a tie. How are we going to do this?
You came to the right place, Phil. You really did. Look, I do think they're going to hash this out at the SEC spring meeting. But if they do want to just, you know, hop on SaturdayDownSouth.com and be a certain writer who is, you know, looking for things to be able to write about in May and wants to just copy and paste this guideline that, you know, this specific writer had, I think that'd be a good idea, in my very biased opinion. We got to figure this out. We have to figure this out, because in a divisionless world, where there is still a conference championship, that sort of thing matters, and it can absolutely come into play. And it's not necessarily an easy thing to figure out. And that's why I wanted to be able to look at this, because, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to have some of these where you don't have that head-to-head advantage to be able to decide that. All right, so what would a second tiebreaker look like? What about total victories against SEC teams that finish with a winning conference record? Essentially, did you beat good teams in conference play? That could come into play. What about something like a third tiebreaker of total conference wins among teams beaten in SEC play, which is really wordy, but it's kind of just like SEC imperialism, and you just take whatever sort of wins that the team that you beat had. So that's kind of the way that you could look at something like this that isn't just straight scoring margin, because I don't want to get into a world in which an SEC championship is decided by whether or not you beat Vanderbilt by 45 or 28. I don't really want that, but that would just be one way to go about it if I were making suggestions.
I'm sure some of those folks have your phone number, so they might want to have it at the ready, because that's a lot of thought that you put into something that who knows if they're going to go with your ideas anyway.
Yeah, they should. I've come up with some horrible ideas, just absolutely horrible ideas that blow up in my face. And look, this one, at least as of this juncture yet, wherein we haven't seen this actually play out, and I actually applied it to a few examples and a few seasons where it would have been relevant, just to make sure that I wasn't totally, totally crazy for coming up with some of these tiebreakers. But look, as of right now, it still checks out and it's still perfectly fine. So, yeah, I'm definitely willing to take all the credit if they want to just take my ideas.
Connor, always appreciate you hopping on. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, appreciate it.
Thank you, Connor.
And it's Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South. It's like you try to figure some of these things out. I'll never forget. We used to complain about the Texas League schedule, and so my old boss, Bill Valentine, was the guy who made the Texas League schedule back then. And then he would say, "You want to complain about it? Here's the schedule grid. Everybody's supposed to have this amount of Fridays, this amount of Saturdays. We can't go 21 days without a day off. Have at it." I remember sitting there thinking about all of this. Start writing stuff down. My eyes went crossed. Tiebreaker things too. It's like you can get your eyes crossed when you're trying to come up with these ideas, but I guess sooner or later you got to know it's going to happen. Matt, you know there's going to be somebody tied.
Well, the thing
for either first or second place in this league.
That's what I was going to say, Phil. There could be a three-way tie for second, and you know, and when you don't play everybody, I'm not a fan of how it's set up from the start. I think it's really dumb. It makes no sense to say, hey, we're going to put all these teams in a group, but y'all aren't going to play everybody, and then we're going to have a winner or have a champion. It's like that's – in no world does that work.
Well, and when you do it by divisions and you play inside that division, you play every team in that division, the tiebreaker is very straightforward, head-to-head, and that's all it's about.
They're not trying to get anything right. I don't – it doesn't – we'll see how it goes, but it just doesn't
– doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't, because everybody doesn't play everybody. So it doesn't matter. You can have a softer schedule. You can have a totally different type of schedule than the other teams.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Give your home a beautiful makeover with flooring options from Menards. Update your room with flooring from Tarkett. From easy-to-install sheet vinyl, waterproof vinyl plank, to durable laminate flooring, Tarkett has the perfect style for you. Grovewood laminate flooring is stain, scratch, and dent resistant and designed with busy families in mind. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options in-store or on Menards.com for more great deals now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.